Welcome to Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya and I will be your host. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put on your AirPods, turn up the volume, and get ready for our guest, Sarah from Mute6, who will share her insights on leveraging influencer marketing for your brand. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today on the Grin Gets Real podcast. I'm really excited to get just kind of digging into, you know, just what you do, the role of agency and influencer marketing just in general. So let's get started a little bit with you sharing what you do at Mute6 and what Mute6 is.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm the head of influencer marketing at Mute6. But Mute6 in general is a digital marketing agency. Our sweet spot and differentiator is understanding our creative learnings to help us really win new customer acquisition and retention strategies. So we do a lot of Facebook, we do a lot of Instagram ads, email, Google, Amazon, programmatic, all of the things. And then we also have an in-house creative team. But what's interesting is influencer kind of hits both aspects, both as media buyers and as content creators. And so that's what makes us at Mute6 a little bit different when we're working with brands, is we have kind of those two ideas in the front to understand and our success working with influencers.
Have you always been in influencer marketing? Like what was that evolution to get to that at Mute6?
Yeah, so I definitely have a very untraditional career and professional journey. A few years back, I was in school at Syracuse University, and you know, I had a really awesome opportunity to join a startup in LA. So I quite literally dropped everything, moved across the country from the East Coast to the West Coast with the big eyes and smile on my face. And the agency that I joined was known for growth hacking. And so I was doing a lot of business development for other brands as clients. And I was also doing some PR, so reaching out to these big journals and authors. And when I was doing the PR part, I had one brand that was an Italian makeup brand, and they really loved this PR idea they were launching in the United States. And they tested me on like, hey, can you do this? Same process, but can you work with influencers? And so kind of me being bright-eyed and excited to join the workforce, I was like, yep, let's do it. We don't have a strategy here, but let's take the process that I know and have worked on, reaching out to all these journalists. And instead of journalists, let's change the database to Instagram. Let's change our requirements to engagement rate, location, and follower count, and see who we can hit. And so I didn't have any budget with this brand. They said, you can send out as many products as possible. we just want to see content. We want to see sales if you can track it. And so within, I believe, 2 or 3 months, I was able to recruit 200 successful influencers to a campaign. It was everyone from, you know, a few like 10,000 followers to over 100,000 followers. And they were just getting makeup at this point. And so, you know, things ended up not working at this other agency. And I kind of started dabbling with a few Shopify brands, and I started working with a tech partner of Shopify. And so that got me in really in the e-commerce space. And then I found Mute6, and that was a big gap. There was no influencer presence at this agency. And so what I did was I kind of connected with our chief strategy officer, who was a huge hand in creating our creative department, you know, production, editing, making sure that all of our content is direct response, and then also pairing that with media buying. And so I worked hand in hand with him to actually create this department where we are not only recruiting influencers that are within the ideal demographic of the brand, but also leveraging their content and saying, okay, let's turn these beautiful assets into ads that actually perform sometimes better than $100,000 budget shoots.
Yeah. I think that your journey is incredibly interesting because one of the things that you had said was, okay, well, I flipped the switch when it came to the business development strategy. I love that so much because I think that there are a lot of people that think influencer marketing is something completely unique. And it is unique because it's people that you're leveraging and the content and their influence that they're creating. But I don't want to ask how you did it, but like there's a lot of strategy behind that. How do you even get started with creating the strategy for influencer marketing?
Yeah. So at that point where I had this one makeup brand that I was working with, I was running off of Google spreadsheets, Instagram itself as my database, and Shopify as the place where I would be, truth be told, all the discount codes and everything. And so it was all piecemeal together. And especially when you're a brand just starting out with influencer marketing, it's the place where everyone starts out. And so I was actually using tools that the business development team was using to recruit new clients. I was recruiting new influencers. So traditionally, when you're reaching out to brands, you have them in this email sequence or just in general business development. So if you don't reply, you send a follow-up after a few days. And it's the same thing with influencers. And sometimes I think, we manage, 40, 50 brands. Uh-huh. And that my team that actually goes in and is the campaign managers, they're essentially like some of the top business development people in the industry. Cause they're recruiting hundreds and hundreds of influencers, confirming them at like, we have a few brands, if we reach out to two influencers, one out of two will say yes. And so at that point, they're taking like these strategies and these that work across any brand, any industry, any product, and just applying them. And that's very similar to, when you're doing your own business development, it's the same strategy, except just moving it to a new platform.
What would you say is kind of the key in that outreach for people when they're trying to engage with an influencer to get them to be part of their program, get them to be excited about their brand?
Yeah, so we do a ton of A/B testing. And with brands, the first time is usually not the winner. And so what we're doing is, one, we're building out influencer lists, usually like 50 to 100 at a time, but splitting that up into chunks of 20. And so we're able to test, the first thing that we want to test is subject line. And so there's a lot of strategy there. Because if influencers aren't opening up your emails, what's the point of pitching them? So for a smaller brand that's less recognized, I would recommend, taking your brand name out of the subject line. Just say, hey, this is a brand collab. Instead of like, my small company wants to work with you. No one knows who your small company is. It might not be interesting to the influencer. But if they're seeing that like a general brand is interested, and maybe it's just to the point where you just need them to open for them to be interested. Yeah. So that's something that we've seen. And then also for these bigger brands, definitely include your brand name. So the subject line is extremely important because that's, what gets an influencer to think of your brand. And then we're also testing, the actual message. What's interesting is I see a ton of brands in their first message, like start to finish their pitch in the first message. Hey,
put the whole email sequence.
The whole thing. Yeah. And it's paragraphs and paragraphs. And I always assume an influencer is reading your email on their phone. And so what you want to do is make sure that your message is very short. I call them micro paragraphs or bulleted. Yeah. You also want to make sure that, you're complimenting the influencer. If you're using a database and we use the Grin database all the time, the influencer doesn't know that. So just make sure like you tell them, hey, we loved your content on Instagram or on TikTok. So it's less of a mystery to the influencer. And then what we always do is say like, hey, this is our brand. This is the product that, this is our hero product that everyone has been raving about.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in a collaboration or trying the product, whatever it is? And so this is how you solicit really, really high reply rates, is without even telling them what you're asking the influencer to do or where they should post or how many times or the time frame or saying that, like, what products we're going to send you. This is our budget. This is this. Just see if they're interested. Once they're interested, we just send them a very simple template. Again, so we're tracking everything, saying like, thanks for responding. We love it. You can find more details in the campaign page. So it's more of a conversation and with influencers, and you're also building a relationship at that point. So it's not really a transaction. We're sending you this, so you do this. We're having a conversation, making sure it's a good fit. And so we're confirming, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of influencers every week.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I know all of the listeners will just hold on to that for sure, because I think that's one of the top questions. But what's your approach with the multiple brands to find the ideal influencer? Because I think the finding the influencers is one of obviously the biggest challenges, right? Like, what's your methodology? You cast in a wide net so that you can get, you know, work that magic 80-20 and get that 20% that are going to say yeah, or are you more strategic?
So it's funny. Usually brands have an idea of exactly who they want to work with. It's someone who has, for the most part, a million followers, 100% engagement rate. And it's you know, like,
only?
These people just, they do exist, but it's not who you actually want to work with. Yeah. And so it's very interesting to find the right middle ground, because something that's interesting is, you know, we're working with super, I call them nano influencers. So less than, let's say, 3,000 followers at that point. They're just normal people like you and me. but they might have like insanely high engagement rate. And that's because the people who are following them are most likely going to be their friends, their colleagues, their schoolmates. They're all following each other. And so that's where we see a ton of success. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because once we hit around the 5K follower count, between 5K and 20K, if you have above, you know, a 7, 8, 9% engagement rate, what we're seeing more and more of is something called engagement pods. And so
I'm so glad that you brought that up. That has been really, like, in recent conversations, those are coming up a lot. And it's really, you're hitting the nail on the head. Like, what's that magic number where you're seeing a lot more of that come out?
Yeah. And it's not someone with this incredible amount of engagement rate, because it's all fake. And and influencers are getting smarter and smarter. So it's harder and harder to detect. And so for anyone who's wondering, like, what the hell is an engagement pod? as a brand, they're looking for high follower count and high engagement rate. Influencers want to stand out. And so what they do is they say, hey, friends, hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm going to throw you into a group text, and I'm going to let you know every single time I have a brand deal and every single time when I'm expecting to post. And so I'll send you the link to the post. All you have to do is say you love it and you're going to check out the website and you're going to go ahead and buy. And so what you're seeing as a brand is, oh my gosh, this person has, you know, 15% engagement rate. How awesome. Mm-hmm. Their content is beautiful. They've worked with all these brands. Like, they must be generating so much sales. But then you go and you work with them and everyone's commenting like, yeah, I'm going to go check out the website and I'm going to go buy something. And there's $0 generated from their discount code.
In your experience, do you see kind of other pitfalls that people fall into when it comes to, you know, just kind of running their influencer program, whether it's searching or managing it or, you know, looking for the return on investment?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the biggest pitfall is the ROI aspects. The offering that we have and the service that we manage is the full influencer marketing. So everything from recruiting, communicating, content. And so my first question to brands is, what is your number one goal? Is it brand awareness? Is it returning ROI? Is it content? For the most part, it's actually pretty interesting. I get more often than not, a brand's goal is content. Because I mean, at Mute 6, we turn UGC into really high performing ads. And they're like, okay, this is a really affordable option. But what I'm seeing is actually the real answer is we want to see ROI, even if they don't say it comes first. And something interesting is we see that brands that offer 20% or more discount to share as an influencer, they're just crushing it. I mean, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of sales every month per brand. And then we're also seeing, okay, if my profit margin isn't that high, I can't offer 20%. There's a few other strategies that you could do, you know, a percent, like a dollar amount off if you spend X amount or more. So there's so many things that you have to think about. And we are seeing a crazy, crazy return right now. I think, just in general, influencer marketing is kind of staying at the same rate. So if you're paying influencers, they're going to give you the cost of what they charge everyone.
Yeah.
But if you're using other marketing strategies like Facebook or Google or any other products, especially around the holidays, things get super expensive. There's more competition. There's more brands wanting to promote their deals. And influencers will always have the same platform. It's organic. And you might pay them just to post once or twice, or you could, what we do a ton is just send out products for these mentions. And so essentially at that point, it's very affordable to get your word out, and you're also seeing a return at the same time.
Yeah, I really like what you said about getting the word out, right? Getting the word out about your brand is just as important as like that revenue that everyone is looking for. I think it's really common for people to say like, okay, that return on investment, I'm either going to do influencer marketing or I'm not going to do influencer marketing. If it doesn't bring me sales, then I'm not going to. But that's also why I think that it's really interesting that you have definitely come across more people looking for content as their initial goal. I always like to say you're always going to get three things with influencer marketing, whether you want to or not. You're always going to get content, brand awareness, and you're going to get revenue. It, just how much of it is really, those are the parts that you tweak and you test and you try to figure out so you can get more of one or the other. Now, going back though to content, how would you guys recommend leveraging the content that you get? Is it in just like the social paid ads? What else could you use that for?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. I could use content all day long, every day. What's one, it's cool because there's so many different pieces of content that you get from influencers. Uh-huh. So the most obvious is like the posts that they share. But something that a lot of brands look over is like, the captions are such great testimonials. Like it is some of the best, and usually, especially on Instagram, they're like influencers are giving their sob stories about how, and they really want to impress the brand. So especially what like with any health and wellness brand, how this product changed, and it could be true, it could be a little bit fluffed up, but at the end of the day, it's an amazing testimonial. It's an amazing review. And so that's one thing that a lot of brands look over is the captions. And so one, we include when we work with an influencer, you know, we make sure to have them agree to give us or the brand the rights to repurpose their content or their posts. And so what we do is one, edit their content, turn it into an ad. But we can also turn, you know, it's really easy to turn a video into a video, right? Like mash it up. What we're also seeing is a lot of influencers are sharing lifestyle photos. And so pairing their lifestyle photos with their captions or testimonials and doing a slideshow. So you're just running through these awesome, awesome testimonials. Nice. And it's like, okay, this is a great one. And this is a great one. And this is a great one. And after a certain point, like someone sees this ad and they're like, okay, I'm going to buy it. That's just so many people talking about this product.
Yeah.
We are also using content in email pop-ups. So it's called CRO, conversion rate optimization. So when someone goes to your website, you give them like this 10% off if you give us your email for your first purchase, and then show them a picture of someone actually using your product. Or you can turn it into a GIF, and if it's like a cream, have an influencer, you know, direct influencers to create content that you can repurpose. And so using UGC, user generated content in the pop-up, it's something that you experience pretty much right as you enter a website. And so it really helps the feeling and kind of like the branding of this product. I'm sure I'm missing a ton of different things. I mean, like we do SMS and email or texts. There's like really, if you're sending content out, you can 100% replace that content with influencer generated content. And what we see is it's a lot more credible, especially one, if you're working with macro influencers, you definitely add the credibility there. But with micro influencers, people put themselves in their shoes. And so you can either send like product or use product shots, or you can use someone using the product. And when I see someone using a product, it's when I decide, okay, do I see myself using that product too?
Yeah, it's a strategic way to like break the fourth wall almost, right? I think that's what it's called, breaking the fourth wall. I am totally buying what you're selling when it comes to user generated content. And that's definitely something that we're always really trying to showcase as to how you can really leverage influencer marketing for your overall marketing strategy. And you just gave some really great just kind of bullet points and tips on how to leverage it. Do you ever run into showing or proving the success of a content campaign to the brands that you work with? Is it like, okay, well, I received 100, I don't know, posts and reviews, and this is how I'm going to use it. How do you tie back that success to the brand?
We usually create campaigns that are specific to a goal. Like you said, there's really three goals: awareness, content, and revenue.
Yes.
And so there should be three different buckets when you're thinking about these goals. Someone who drives revenue might not make beautiful content. And so we're seeing that especially on TikTok right now as well, is the most beautiful pieces of content really aren't generating any revenue. It's those really organic, kind of like cringeworthy experiences on TikTok that you can't stop watching. And I mean, we had a few posts that went live, and I mean, like literally overnight, $200,000 worth of sales after someone shows the checkout experience, and they're just recording them clicking buttons on their desktop. Like, yep, I like this one. I like this one. I like this one. Check out. Next day, they're completely sold out from a TikTok video. I'm like, holy
interesting.
Shit. And it's something that we would never use in anywhere else, like not even as organic social content. That's something that I miss, is repurposing influencer content on your own social channels. But when we're coming back to your question, is creating campaigns. So on Grin, you should create campaigns that are specific to a goal. And we're also creating campaigns specific to a demographic. Let's say I'm working with a clothing brand. I am not going to send men the same campaign as I am women. That's because, one, they might have different products that they could choose from. But then also, you know, we're changing the feel, and that maybe it's the different value props that we're sending them. And it's the same thing that for your goal is like a campaign for revenue. You definitely want an influencer to include their discount code, their swipe up link, their link in bio. But if your goal is content, and one of the best ways we can get content from influencers is Instagram stories. It's the easiest way to have an influencer post and tag your brand without actually paying them, because the content disappears within 24 hours. But on the back end, we can always save it if they tag the brand. That's something, another way we leverage Grin. But if the goal is, you know, sales, we want the discount code front and center in their Instagram story. But when we're working with content creators, we don't want their like little text bubbles obstructing their content, you know? So there's different objectives that we make sure to, you know, highlight in our campaigns. And also we have creative briefs as well that are very different, and and making sure that, you know, if our goal is this, this is what we follow. And if we have multiple goals, we create multiple campaigns and multiple messages and something specific to that.
I like that a lot. When it comes to content, do you look for how many pieces of content to show that that content campaign was a success? Or do you typically have to prove like, okay, I had the objective of getting content of like reviews, and then I'm going to use it in a Facebook ad, for instance? Do you then tie back the performance of that content on the other platform?
Yeah. Something that's very interesting about influencer marketing, a lot of brands that are doing it are very tunnel vision. So yeah. If my campaigns on Instagram are not driving revenue, that means influencer marketing is not working.
Yes. I'm very familiar with that sentiment.
But what's really happening is one, like brand awareness is coming in. And if you are running Facebook ads, it's helping your top of funnel. So the audience that you're able to remarket based on who is actually going to your website, it gets a lot bigger. So there's a lot more opportunity to, you know, bring people down through Facebook ads. And then we're also seeing when we're using content from influencers for Facebook ads, I'd like to say like 9 out of 10 times, the content performs better. And so if we do a side-by-side comparison, you know, we're spending the same amount on like a non-influencer ad versus an influencer ad, but we're seeing a higher return when we're using influencer content. It could be the credibility behind influencers, or it could be just seeing people use the product, or people just don't like to be sold.
Yes.
A lot of ads are very sales focused, and influencers want that aesthetic. They want, you know, the good feel. They want people to engage. And so a lot of the times when we're running content campaigns, we're giving influencers very specific value props to highlight.
Yeah.
So if it's a clothing brand, we want them to show the stretch, show the fabric, highlight the colors, don't add the filters. But in terms of actually like how you show that or how you explain that, that's all you. You are the expert. You're the one who has grown your following, kept your engagement up. So let's keep that to you. And when we use it in a Facebook ad, it just performs better.
It's real. It's authentic. And I think that's, you know, to tie it all together, it is definitely like the value of influencer marketing is that authenticity that it brings to the table. You know, it cuts through the noise of traditional marketing for sure. Well, Sarah, thank you so much. You have dropped a ton of knowledge for us. And I know that all of the listeners are going to walk away with all of these really great tips that you were able to provide. So thank you. I hope to get you on here again, talking about the other aspects of influencer marketing as well, too. We could do a whole thing on campaign management. Thanks.
That was great.
During this episode, Sarah shares how to leverage influencer marketing for your brand. From driving brand awareness to achieving a higher ROI, we explore the role that influencers can have in your overall marketing strategy. She provided insight on looking beyond just a post when evaluating the user-generated content from influencers and using their caption as a review. Then taking the reviews, the videos, the posts, and the stories to use in your social ads, like Facebook, to increase conversion rates on those paid ads, with the overall goal of helping you move people down the funnel to take action and make a purchase. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes and visit our website at grin.co. That's grin.co for more information. Until next time, keep grinning.